Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Kusukela enhlizweni yethu ukuya kweyakho. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
And of course it is that time of the week where we discuss matters pertaining to our health. Listen, it's October and we are in the midst of Mental Health Awareness Month. An ideal time to focus on our well-being, the challenges we face, and the support we give each other. Today we're talking about friendship and mental health, how the people we surround ourselves with can lift us up, support us through the tough times, or sometimes even affect our well-being in unexpected ways. And who better to have that conversation with than the one and only health expert, health guru in our health corner, as per usual, from Wellbeings Africa, the editor of Wellbeings Africa, Charlene Naidoo. Charlene, good afternoon and welcome back.
Hey, Luca. Listen, talking about friends, you are a real friend for that, for that intro. Thank you for that. Yeah, it's always good to be here. Hello to everyone listening. And I hope you're all listening in a good mental state of mind. And if not, we're here to help.
We're here to help. I love it. Apparently, I give good intros, and I think I've just redeemed myself once again. So thank you. Thank you, Charlene, for that. Now, tell me, Charlene, why is it important to talk about friendships when discussing mental well-being today?
You know, I think we speak so much about mental health, and we always kind of think about it in terms of relationships, like romantic relationships, or in terms of workplaces and stress and everyday things. But friendship is a part of that mental health question, you know. And it can be your long-term friendships, it can be short-term friendships, but they are such big parts of our daily lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the people you text when you need to complain about something. Mm-hmm. It's sending funny memes and jokes to each other during the day. It's the people you socialize with, even if it's just once a month, maybe,
yep.
You know. So the thing is that friendships are relationships because you are letting people into your life. You're sharing personal stories with them. You are making memories. You're connecting with them. And that always comes with a weight to it.
Yeah.
So when we talk about mental well-being, we have to factor in the friendship element. And you know, ideally, good friends are part of the foundation of your good mental health. And with really good, deep friendships, you get that sense of belonging and you get that sense of support. So when we talk about mental well-being today, we can't just talk about self-care in isolation. We also need to talk about how our friendships actually affect our mental state.
Listen, you are a genius. I'm going to give you that much because I've never thought of the subject or conversation of mental health, you know, inclusive of friends. And you're so right. These are the people that shape our everyday lives, even more than our families do at times, if you think about it. I mean, take me for an example. I live like 1,000 kilometers and more away from home, and it is usually friends that carry me, the same friends which, if you think about it, can actually break me as well. So it's you're right, they form a huge aspect of who we are, but we just never think of them in that light. We always think it's just the things that go on in our lives, and we exclude the impact or lack of that they can have on us.
And it's so important what you just said about, you know, your family being so far away from you. So many people are in that situation where they are very, you know, like geographically far away from their families. And their friends become their families. So those friendships become the core relationships in your life, in your everyday life.
Yeah.
You know, that's your Monday to Sunday life. It's the friends that you speak to. If you don't have the family support system that you might necessarily need.
That is so true. Now, tell me, Charlene, how should we define a healthy friendship and why does it matter for our mental health?
The million-dollar question. I think healthy friendships, healthy relationships, everybody wants to know what's the secret sauce.
Yeah.
And I think the most important aspect, and I'd say this is universal to any relationship, is, do you feel safe? Okay. Safety in a friendship, just like in a romantic relationship, it's vital.
True.
It's the sense that, look, I can be myself. No one is judging me. No one is mocking me. I'm not going to be betrayed. I can share my thoughts and feelings with this person. They're not going to run away and like tell the next person. Okay, that's so
Yeah.
important because it's not just loyalty, right, Loco? It's safety. It's that sense that yes, this is my safe person. So that's very, very important. Another huge factor when it comes to friendships is respect. I think
True.
that this is something we can probably all relate to, is that you may not always agree with your friend about something,
Yeah,
okay?
yeah.
Maybe you disagree about politics. Maybe you've got different ideas of how to raise your children. Maybe you've got different ideas about your goals in life versus their goals in life. And that's fine and that's normal. But this is where respect is so important, because does your friend respect you and your path or your journey in life? Are they respectful of how you conduct yourself? If they have an issue with something, how do they address it with you? You know, this is why it's so important, that a friendship is a two-way street of trust and respect, because you're not always going to agree, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But you have to be respectful of each other's choices. And I just want to say also, we're not saying that just because you don't agree with your friend about something, you're not allowed to say something. You can, of
Exactly.
course. But it's the way you say it. It's the respect that you bring to that conversation.
You're actually
Okay.
reminding me, I saw a post on Facebook. Somebody was sharing an experience with her friend where the friend actually addressed her and how she addressed that friend. Basically, the friend called her out. Would say, look, you didn't speak to me in a nice way. And she says, a part of me at first, I was like, oh, okay. You know, we become defensive. She says, but
Yes.
in the end, I was grateful because she could have easily walked away without saying anything. And realized or decided that I disrespected her, and she would have lost all respect for me, and that would have broken our friendship.
Yes.
But she says, in hindsight, now that I look at it, I'm like, I'm glad she did, because we were then able to speak about it and reach a common ground, and I took accountability for how I spoke. Because, and this is my thing, Charlene, I always say, sometimes you don't say things out of malice. But it's
Yes.
not what it's only in your heart's repentance that I realize what your intention
Yes.
was. Because I might say something to you right now, Charlene, and it doesn't land nicely. The true intention of my heart is only established in how I take it, because it's how I gave it, it's not how you take it.
Absolutely. That is such an amazing reflection. And I think it's so true because, you know, if somebody comes at you like a little sideways, you're going to immediately get defensive, even if it's your best friend. I completely understand, like that example that you used. Your immediate reaction is going to be like, "Huh? What do you mean? Like, how dare you say that to me?"
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a sign of a good and strong friendship, actually, that you can walk away and say, "Hey, wait a minute. Luca actually meant that in this way." And it came from a good place. It came from a good intention.
Yeah.
So it wasn't for her to assert some power or something over me. It was because she had an issue with something. She pointed it out because she respects our friendship. So if you can both go away, and you don't have to handle it amazingly well in the first 5 minutes, but if you can then have the perspective and say, "No, actually, this is important for our friendship. We'll talk it out, we'll communicate about it, and we'll come to an understanding." That is a sign of a strong and an authentic friendship.
That is so true. Whew. Never realized how much I needed this conversation, actually. Now, are there any common misconceptions that people have about friendships and mental health, Charlene?
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And just to our point that we've already kind of spoken about now, guys, it's okay to disagree with your friends, okay? Some people, or I'm not even gonna say some people, I think a lot of people think that you have to always see eye to eye, you always have to agree on everything, you can never have conflict, because if you do, then that friendship is not real. It doesn't count. But I mean, that's just not true. Okay, healthy friendships can handle differences, and it's good because you're challenging each other, but in positive ways that are going to just make your friendship stronger.
And I say, if there aren't any conflicts, you're always smiling. That's surface level friendship. It means you haven't gotten
So
into
surface
depth.
level. Something is going on beneath the surface
And
there,
it's gonna blast.
and it's going to blow up. Another big misconception, Luko, and I think this is, you might see it like with younger generations, is that there's this idea that more friends automatically means like better mental health, or it's a sign that like I'm a good person or people like me. But the thing is that quantity is not the goal. It's about the quality of those friendships. Like having a few close supportive friends, that can do so much more for your mental well-being than a huge circle of casual acquaintances, like people you don't even know. I know people will have like 5,000 friends on Facebook, What does that actually mean? Are you sharing your life? Are you sharing your problems, your everyday challenges with those 5,000 people? And I think, also something to know as we grow and move through life, there is a season for everything, okay? And not all your friends are meant to move with you through every single season. So sometimes it's just natural. Friendships will just naturally evolve, they'll change. Some friendships will disappear, and that's okay, because that is just the nature of life. Things are always changing, and someone who's been a good friend for 2 years might not be there for you for the next stage of your journey, or for their journey, and that's okay. We've got to be mature and accept it and understand it. I want to also say, another thing when it comes to these misconceptions about friendship is that some people feel like reaching out for support, it's too much. Like, no, I can't bother that person right now. They will judge me. I feel embarrassed to talk about my problems. But I promise you, if that friend is truly and sincerely your friend, they want you to reach out. So give them the chance to be supportive.
Recently, I don't know if, when I told when I was moving house, I decided I was going to do everything by myself.
I
And
remember this.
I and a friend of mine, I think I was really exhausted, and I had written something on my WhatsApp, and he was like, what's happening, Makoma? What's wrong? That's my clan name. And I was like, no, I'm just so exhausted. I was moving house. I haven't managed to unpack everything. He's like, what? I was like, yeah. And I just felt like I was just having to labor alone and do everything alone. And he said to me, I'm judging you right now. Because as busy as I am with school stuff, it doesn't mean I couldn't have spared a day to help you move. I'm
Absolutely.
here. Vuyisa, our other friend is here. He's like, no, like we might not even speak every day, but we're your friends. What's so difficult with saying, help me?
Absolutely.
And I brushed that aside. I apologized. I was like, oh, no, man, I didn't want to bother people. And then suddenly, probably like 2 weeks later, I get a text from the other friend who he said that he was suggesting about. And he says, oh, Luko, I heard something from Stella that really broke my heart. It's like, what happened? He's like, no, you were telling me you were moving house. Dude, like, are we that busy that we couldn't come and lift things for you? I was like, he's like, no, look, I'm judging you for this. This is so wrong. Please. And in that moment, I sent him a voice note, and I was so heartbroken. I was like, you know what? I've been going through so much, friend, that I actually am at a place where I want to do everything myself. I don't want to bother people because I feel like, and it goes back to what you're saying. There they are sitting and thinking, I bo, how can you make us fail you? And I'm like, no, and I think sometimes it's a form of defense, and it goes to this real conversation we're having, mental health. We've been through so much that we want to protect ourselves first, because what's the worst that could have happened? It's them saying, no, we can't help. And a part of me feels like that would have broken me. And they're allowed to say, no, we can't, because if they can't, then they can't.
But you see, that again, that is the sign of a good friend, because he was actually upset that you didn't ask for the help. Because no matter how busy he was, he would have made some time. Even if it was just 30 minutes to come drop off some food or whatever it was, that
Exactly.
is the sign of a good friend, because they may not think in their day-to-day, oh, wait a minute, Luca is moving today. They've got other things going
Yeah.
on. They might not remember, but they want you to reach out and say, and as you said, all they could do, I mean, like the worst that could happen would be, sorry, I'm busy today. Maybe I can come by on the weekend or something. That would
Exactly.
have been the worst of it. But I think we put so much pressure on ourselves and on these friendships, because part of the reason you're not asking for help, and this goes to all of us, part of the reason we don't ask for help is because we don't want to put a burden on that person.
Yeah,
We
and we
don't
don't want to be
want to.
disappointed.
Yes, we don't want to be disappointed. We don't want to stress them out. And we don't want to put them in the uncomfortable position of saying
True,
no.
true.
So, but again, you see how this all comes back to it. You still had a toll on your mental health from it, either way.
Yeah, that's so correct. Sure. Growing is a difficult one, I must say, because I feel like this all comes with growth, because there was a time, and I think children don't overcalculate these things. We do that.
Not at all. They
Yeah.
are so pure and sincere,
Yeah.
and it's like, do you want to be my friend? Yes or no? And they just move on with their lives,
Yeah.
and they take those friendships for what it is. That's
Yeah.
it. I mean, I understand, like, a child developmentally, there's still a lot going on there, but it's so simple in a child's eyes.
Now, tell me, Charlene, how can we tell if a friendship is positively or even negatively affecting our mental health?
Let's start with the positive stuff, because I think this is a little easier to gauge.
Yeah.
I also want to say at the outset here, and I think we've said this a couple of times, there is no prize in life for suffering through
Yeah.
things.
I know you hate that.
This performative suffering, guys, we must learn to leave it at the door. Okay, we'll come to that. On the positive side, we spoke about safety, and I think it really is something that is super, super important, okay?
Yeah.
More than your friend doing anything for you or your friend always being there for you, if you feel safe, if you feel understood, if you feel supported, those are green flags for your friendship. That is a friendship that is positively affecting your mental health. It's good for you. You spend time together and you feel nice afterwards. You feel lighter. You feel energized. Even if you've had, maybe you're going through something really challenging now and you've just had a 2-hour conversation crying your heart out, but you still feel supported at the end of the conversation. That is a good friendship. That is a supportive friendship.
Yeah, true.
So it's clear things, it's obvious things that you can see and feel. You don't resent spending time with the person. You look forward to that time together. You can respect each other's boundaries. We must also speak about boundaries, but you feel like, look, if I can't make it to see this friend this weekend, they're not going to be upset with me. They're not going to take it personally.
Yeah.
I'm not bending over backward and, putting like everything out of whack in my life just to make that time for them. You do it because you want to, and if you can't do it, that's okay. There's respect. But
I do want to chip in there, Maisha, and I think this also is a reflection also on our behavior, because if I'm a friend that always breaks that promise, if I'm a friend who says I'll come and I don't, I create a certain facade of unreliability, and in the end, and so I'm I want us to speak about the type of friends we are as well, because we have a tendency to
100%.
focus on our friends, how they are towards us, whereas we are also not reliable friends. We're not those friends that our friends can actually count on, because if I say I'm coming, Charlene, today, and I don't pitch, and I don't have a reason, or I give you some lame excuse, next time I say I'm coming and I don't pitch, you have every right to be disappointed, because that's just my behavior.
And that is a pattern now, because you've not just
Yeah.
done it the one time, you've done it the second time, the third time. So I start
Exactly.
to also think, you know what? She's an unreliable friend. I'm not going to reach out that
Exactly.
much. So you're 100% right. This is not a one-way street at all. It's not always about what our friends do to us. It's not always about how other people's behavior affects us. What are you doing? Are you the type of friend that your friend is also just not sitting there thinking about, hey, wait a minute, how is she negatively impacting my mental health? This conversation goes both ways. But and to your point, actually, like if we look at the flip side of it, of how a friendship might harm your mental health, there's things like if you're constantly feeling anxious, okay, about spending time with the person or after you've spent time with them, if you are constantly feeling drained and exhausted, everything is about this person. I've just got to sit there and listen to them complain and go on about their lives, okay? And again, we've all been, we've either all been on one side or the other
Of
of
course.
this. And you might find yourself walking on eggshells. You're hiding how you really feel. You see their messages and calls come through, and you go, "Uh-oh, no, okay." And it's natural. We all have those impulses sometimes. So, a quick few questions, and these are just yes or no answers. Okay, so. How does this friendship affect my mental health? Number one, do I feel better or worse after spending time with this person? Yes or no? Okay. Can I be honest and still feel accepted? And this, just to give some context here, it's not about criticizing the person or saying whatever we feel in the name of honesty and wanting that to be accepted. We're saying, like, with respect, can you be honest with this person and not feel like they're going to jump down your throat? They're going to be angry. They're going to just storm out. Okay. And I think the most important question, it's so easy to say it, but the answer is very important. Does this friendship add value to my life or does it take away from it? And those are just like yes or no. What do you think? And then once you've got your yes or no's, then you can go in depth about it and think about how these friendships actually are affecting your mindset. How do you feel? Do you feel relief? Like when you've made plans with someone and they've canceled, that tells you something. That's a signal, you know? So you need to, listening to these signals is so important. But then you also need to decide what to do about them.
Sure, you're throwing in some great challenges there, and I think each person really just needs to sit and evaluate, because it really doesn't help for us to just wing it, because hey, it's not broken, fix it.
No.
No, it's going to have a bearing in our mental health. And speaking of that, Charlene, here's my next question. How do you maintain healthy boundaries in relationships without feeling guilty? And I'm going to add on this question. When is it important to instill those boundaries?
This is such a stressful one, Luca. This hits me very personally because I am one of those people who I don't like conflict.
Yo, you're
I
me.
and I don't like conflict to an extent. I will literally just run away from the problem. So it is, and I find it really, really stressful. Okay. What I've started doing for myself personally is that I've started to think about, I feel like when we hear boundaries, some of us take it in a very negative way. Okay. I know I do because I immediately think, okay, a boundary means that I have to put up a wall around myself and I need to push things away from me and push people away from me to protect myself and my time and my health and whatever it is. Okay.
And it's just not
And that
you.
immediately, and it's immediately stressful. It is immediately like, oh no, this is bad, this is bad. Okay, so here's the bad news first. Okay. Unfortunately, yes, it is uncomfortable at first. Okay. It is going to be miserable, you're going to feel anxious, you're going to be stressed out. What does this boundary mean? How is the person going to take it? Are they going to have an argument with me? Are they going to create a whole problem about it? That's unfortunately, those are the natural things that are going to happen That might happen if you put up a boundary. It is uncomfortable at first, but you need to do it, okay? Because what happens is that it's a losing situation when you don't set those initial boundaries, okay? Because this is what happens to your mental health. You start resenting the friendship and you start getting annoyed at yourself, okay? So now you've got to come in, you're angry at your friend for putting you in this position, but you've also created the problem because you didn't set that boundary initially.
True.
So you have to be okay to say, these are my boundaries. So say, for example, your boundary is that you are quite a private person and you don't like to talk about certain things with friends. Maybe you don't like to talk about, problems at home, or maybe you don't like to talk about money or financial issues. That's fine. That is your boundary, right? So you can't go from 0 to 100 overnight. You've got to start with small limits. So when a friend brings up something financial, like related to finances, you just need to get to that point where you say, I don't actually want to talk about that. I'm not really comfortable talking about finances, and move away from that. So once you do it the first time, you've started putting up a little bit of that boundary. But then you've got to be consistent, right?
The
You
difficult
have to
part.
make sure. Yes. You have to make sure that they get the message, and they get the message in a way that doesn't mean that, I don't want you asking me this question because how dare you? No, it's about, Luko, I'm not comfortable talking about finances because of X, Y, and Z. Whatever the reason is, you don't have to give a reason, but it's a you thing. It's your
True.
boundary. It has nothing to do with the friend. So you've got to present it in a way that they can't take it personally.
Yeah, and I think it's also important how we do it. Also, if I'm putting the boundary, I need to ascertain that I'm not fighting. This is just the boundary I'm putting up, and I would really love it if the other person doesn't cross it. Now tell me,
Yes.
what about the connection between loneliness and mental health, and how friendships can actually help?
I think, loneliness has become one of the biggest mental health challenges right now. And one of the misconceptions also is that I think people think that loneliness affects people who live alone, but it's not even about that anymore. Because you can be surrounded by other people, you can have an active social life, actually, you can still feel very, very deeply lonely. So, just from a health perspective, let me give you some alarming news. Loneliness is linked to higher rates of depression, to anxiety, to poor sleep. It's even linked to heart disease. There's some research that shows that chronic loneliness can be as harmful to your health as smoking. So that is quite an alarming factor. So this is now where friendships play a very important role, because true friendships, they offer that emotional connection. You matter. There's someone here who cares about your well-being. There's a support system, even if it's two friends, that's still a support system that can help you lift your mood, can help you process difficult feelings, and just kind of give you that perspective when life feels heavy. So I think this also again comes, it goes back to what we're speaking about. When we talk about the quality of your friendships, there's no, I mean, where's the value in having 10 friends, but you still feel lonely? Because then what are those friendships doing? What is it there? Is it all superficial?
Good question. Tell me, Charlene, how should someone approach a friend who seems to be struggling mentally without overstepping?
Oh, definitely boundaries, 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 right? Or what we've just said. The thing is, this is such a delicate situation also, because you have to take that person's character and personality into account. Some people are intensely private and they could be going through, life-changing circumstances, but they don't want to share sensitive stuff. Because maybe that's just how they are. So the thing is, As much as you want to be respectful of that, if you are a good friend, you truly want to be there for that person, right?
Exactly.
And you want to help them. So the goal here is to be gentle. You've got to be respectful and non-judgmental. Okay, so it's not about saying, "Hey, by the way, this is what I noticed, and what's going on," and just kind of going in all guns blazing. No, let's not do that. Just go in respectfully. I've noticed you seem more quiet than usual lately. Is everything okay? Do you want to talk? We said this before. I think we spoke about communication once, about just listen more than you speak. Okay, give that person the space to share. And I think this is so true, Luca, that sometimes people just want to talk and they don't want solutions, right?
True.
They just.
I said this to a friend last week who's going through a lot. I said to him, listen, I'm here. I might not have the answers, but listen, talking helps. Sometimes you just want somebody to listen. That's
Yes.
it, so you can literally
Yes.
just offload.
I spoke to a friend a couple of weeks ago, and it was so funny because they said to me, "I'm just gonna talk, okay? Don't give me any solutions. Let me just get it all out of my system. I just want to complain for 10 minutes." So I was
That.
like, "Sure, go for it, complain." And it was so sincere and funny at the same time because that was literally just what the friend wanted to do. They just wanted to complain for 10 minutes, and that was all they needed. So sometimes, yeah, people just really want to get their feelings out. Sometimes they do want solutions. Something I do want to mention that's super important. Sometimes a friend will open up to you, and the problem may be above you. It might be too big, it might be too overwhelming. There are a lot of life issues that people go through that, even if you are the most supportive friend in the world, you are not qualified to help them.
You don't have to give input if, especially if you're not trained, because you
Yes.
might just exacerbate the situation.
Oof, oh, say that again. 100% that. And that's okay to say, you know what, Luco, I am really sorry you're going through this. It is really overwhelming just to even listen to you. Can I help you find some resources? Can I help you find a counselor, a therapist, or whatever it is? Because we, at the end of the day, we're all just fallible humans, but there are experts out there. There are experts out there who can help when the problem is just way above your pay grade, and that's okay. You can say that to the friend.
Listen, we are running out of time, but here's another question. Many people struggle to make friends as adults. Who are many people? Now, what are practical ways to connect in a digital age without feeling awkward?
I think just come to terms with what you want in friendship, okay? You don't have to pressure yourself to find a best friend. You can just begin with small interactions. It could be a neighbor that you have conversations with, it could be someone that you work with. It could be these acquaintances who you start to just forge little bits of friendship with that become something more meaningful, but you don't have to put pressure on it. In the digital space, there are tons of online communities, social media groups. If you've got a specific hobby, there's so many niche groups that you can join. And the upside about it is that shared interests will give you those instant conversation starters. And I think just finally on that point, like just be patient. Adult friendships take time. It's normal if it doesn't click immediately. It's also normal if you've made a new friend and it doesn't kind of like work out. That's okay. Maybe that's just an occasional socializing friend. Not every friendship should be deep and intense and full on.
Sure. Yeah, she reminded me something and it popped in my head now. You said it's fine if those friendships don't last that long or don't go further. Men, I always say, listen, it's okay. Let the friendships go and don't beef about it. It just means it's lived its time frame and it's okay for it to come to an end.
Absolutely.
Now, lastly, Charlene, if there's one piece of advice that we can give our listeners this Mental Health Awareness Month about building and nurturing friendships that support mental well-being, what would it be?
So I think let's just touch on that point we spoke about earlier. We cannot say that our friends always let us down if we're also not there when they need, okay? It can't always be one friend making the overtures, calling all the time, being there when you need to vent. Friendship is a two-way street, so you cannot be the main character all the time, okay? Just keep that in mind. Focus on meaningful connection. Invest in those friendships that lift you up just as much as you lift others. You know, again, back to the two-way street. Be there for your friends as you want them to be there for you. And I think just, you know, think of healthy friendships as part of your mental well-being foundation, and take the time to nurture those friendships. Especially again, you know, if you're not really close to family, you don't have family, you know, your friendships are really vital relationships in your life. So just be open to support and vulnerability. And I think it's important to know, you know, like it's through genuine connection that we feel seen, we feel understood, we feel less alone in the world.
Yeah, that's true. Charlene, I cannot let you go without giving us detail on how we can get more of this info. Please, whatever you do over and above your website, remind us to go to that WhatsApp channel because, wow, I'm loving
Yes, I was actually just going to mention that. So
it.
you can definitely, if you don't have any friends, you can be friends with Wellbeings, okay? We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and we've just launched a Wellbeings WhatsApp channel where we're doing weekly health tips and health reminders. So you can definitely find us on WhatsApp now. That's Wellbeings WhatsApp. And of course, you know, just come read all the health and wellbeing articles and content at wellbeingsafrica.com. And yeah, just take this Mental Health Awareness Month as your chance to take care of yourself, starting with the health of your friendships.
Yeah, true, true. Charlene, thank you so much, my dearest. Until next time, have a lovely afternoon further.
Awesome. Thanks, Luco. Take care.
657 AM, your daily companion.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.